Okay, and welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we look at cult TV from 2000 and before. And today we're here with Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Jeanette.
Hi.
Lisa.
Captain John, look back out of here.
Oh, she's giving it away.
I'm so excited. Sorry.
And Alex.
Hey.
And today we're looking at Jean-Luc Picard. Well, Star Trek Picard. And it's on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So this is a reprise of Jean-Luc Picard with Patrick Stewart. And it's 20 years after the events of Star Trek Nemesis. And,
the movie I forgot existed. Yeah.
But they're reprising all sorts of roles. So they've got Brent Spiner in there, Data, mm-hmm. Jerry Ryan as Seven of Nine, Marina Sirtis.
You're doing all the spoilers.
Deanna Troi.
Yeah. Well, what'll be amusing is Data
and
Star Trek Nemesis. Data, sorry, shouldn't be able to remember anything that happened in Next Gen. Because Data in Nemesis got blown up and
got
the replacement
up.
Data was found sort of thing and activated. So.
Yeah.
Maybe
so
anything
no,
will be a different Data.
That's not necessarily true, though.
No.
Because Data would probably back up.
Yeah.
Because he's had moments where his memory's been wiped and they've just gone, here's your memories up until this point. Enjoy.
Right.
Spoiler alert, that's later on in the season.
He's mentioning all the reprises spoiling things.
I don't know.
Maybe it is, I don't know.
Not really.
Everybody forgets that. You didn't
everywhere.
Hear that
yeah,
from
true.
You didn't
yeah,
hear
true.
That from the Cult TV Club, so.
They're bringing back most of the Next Gen crew by the sounds of things and looks of things, which is nice.
Including Wesley?
Is Wesley Crusher going to be returning?
Doesn't look like it.
Oh, thank God, I might enjoy this.
Sweaters in the corner going, I could have been in.
I would
you don't
have said
want to
that.
See that.
I would have just thought it. Anyway, so yes, we've got a bit of a reprising cast, and it's all with, of course, the modern graphics and special effects.
And modern possibilities too, I'm guessing.
Is it going to be better or worse than Star Trek Next Generation?
I'm thinking because I've watched through all of Discovery, and because that series was very much, we're doing a whole thing rather than doing it episodically like Enterprise did, so the series with Enterprises in them. So I'm figuring that it's going to be so different that it's really going to be hard to compare styles.
I think it's going to be done with a different writer and a different director, so it's probably going to be better.
Also, judging by the scale, like the trailers, looks like the scale of things is going to be very different, so it's not going to be the Enterprise and a big ship. I'm actually kind of going in expecting more of a Firefly sort feel with Picard.
Okay.
So like a smaller ship and crew, that's
have
sure.
This sort of vast impact story that where, you know, he saves the universe thing.
I think it's hilarious how we were just watching the Next Gen episode, the previous episode, talking about how, you know, Riker's the derring do and Picard's the sit back and, you know, negotiates and he's the diplomat. And then it's like, yeah, this season Star Trek, Picard's just going to come in and save the universe. And, he's going to be a renegade with a bunch of crew and stuff.
Oh, you know, he's still going to have his action man in the show, I think. They've already shown a captain sitting, or someone sitting in the chair.
I'm
what
expecting
else
it to
been?
Be like a run-on from the last episode of the TV series.
Okay.
Because...
So not the movies?
Not the movies at all, no. Because it starts off in a vineyard, and that's how the first frame of the last episode started off. So I kind of feel like it will be a hand-in-hand sort of thing. I won't be surprised if Riker is indeed command of the ship that he was in command of at the end of the ninth season.
It felt as though that was a fake future.
I imagine Picard would go back to France and work in a vineyard.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it was Riker commanding Enterprise D, which got destroyed in the Generations film, which we also ignore. It's like movies 2, 4, 6, and 8, and everything else is ignorable.
The movies are crap, minus one.
Yeah.
Which ones do you think aren't crap?
The one, what's it called?
First Contact.
Yeah, First Contact.
First Contact.
That's an amazing...
Yeah, it's like a rule where even Star Trek films are good, and they cheat a little by saying a Galaxy Quest counts as a Star Trek film.
I actually kind of like the ending episode where Picard meets Kirk. I actually kind of like that Kirk's chopping
in Generations.
Wood in Generations.
Yeah.
No, that's like
that
one moment.
I think they're going to repeat that scene, but anyway. Anyway, on with the show.
I will, full disclosure, I watched the first episode, which I have to tell you guys when I came in.
Oh, out of the room.
For the sake of my marriage, I had to watch the first episode with my husband. And
I like how that's an excuse. Get a divorce. Get a divorce for a week.
Sorry, guys. You come second. so I can't make any guesses to how it would go, but I'm very excited hearing all of your suggestions and how you think it would be. So.
Good day.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get on with it, and we'll watch Star Trek Picard. Picard, what did everybody think? There's a few screams in there, weren't there?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was the priority
end. What were the two screams that we heard?
Hang on.
Gypsy.
Loved it.
Do we need spoiler warnings? Spoilers.
Obviously, spoilers. No,
I'll be good.
There are going to be spoilers.
No, there will be spoilers.
I've got big spoiler warnings
now. Oh. Yeah. No, that was amazing.
So what were the two screams about? There was two screams in there.
Were there?
Yes, two. There was the first one
was from Jonathan Franks. That's the one I remember.
Yeah.
But there was a banner that came up.
Oh, Picard Day.
Oh, no, right?
Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful.
That was an episode out of Next Generation.
Yeah, it was great. They got trapped in a turbo lift because the power went out, and so Picard had, like, four other kids with him, and so he was like, okay, I'm gonna promote this child to number one because your strengths is leadership. I'm gonna promote this one to science because they're really good with science and they're actually interested in that. And one kid that was just really bad, he also got promoted and ended up being really good with morale, so that was really cute. And they had to, like, climb up the lift of the turbo shaft tied together singing Faire Jacques. Climbed all the way to the top, and it was beautiful, and it's one of my faves.
In the context of the Captain Picard Day song?
It started off with Captain Picard Day, I'm pretty sure.
And they made this lovely banner for him, and he was being a big old grumpy bum about it.
He's like, I've got to lead kids around the entire starship. I hate kids.
I hate kids, right.
But he ended up having fun.
So there was a second scream. What was that?
Jonathan Franks.
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 Franks out, man. Franks out.
Riker.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yes.
I love Riker.
And I do recall you saying, and I had to hold back when you said, oh, yeah, no, he'll be running the starship that he was running at the end of the movies, and obviously what we saw in the trailer.
He's not, but that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay, so Angus, what did you think of the episode?
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was really, really quite fun.
Yeah. Mm. A little bit different than Star Trek Next Generation, isn't it? How do you feel it was different?
It wasn't episodic for starters. That was the big glaring difference. This clearly is an ongoing series with episode by episode different things happening to progress and over.
And it wasn't sort of afraid to go slowly, was it? It was quite a relaxed
less
pace.
Less cheesy. Yeah. That was nice.
Less cheesy was good, yes.
I don't remember Romulan spitting acid, but that's just my
tip. I think there's the acidic blood.
Oh, I'd be willing to say that that's a Borg thing.
An implant.
They're sitting on a Borg ship.
That was a big one.
There's a spoiler. So
spoiler.
So at the end, it shows the Romulan, was it Romulan reclamation site?
Yeah.
And it pans out and they've reclaimed their territory on an ex-Borg, I'm assuming it's an ex-Borg cube.
Oh, really?
I reckon I know what it is.
And Jeanette, what do you think about that episode compared with the previous one we just watched?
I think this could be the Star Trek series I really get hooked on.
That's frightening.
Very good, yes. No, I really enjoyed it.
Hooked on Star Trek before?
No. I mean, I've watched it, but not been hooked on it. And that's a big difference.
You'd like Deep Space Nine, it's not episodic.
No, I did not like Deep Space Nine at all.
It's the home and away of Star Trek. You'll really love it.
Follow the Dominion War. Yeah, good fun.
Yeah.
With O'Brien. Oh.
I like not O'Brien, because it Colmeany? Is that his name?
Yeah. So,
he was in lots of really great Irish movies back in the day, and then I think he kind of went a bit Hollywood and went on Deep Space Nine.
He's great and all, but I watched like 3 episodes of Deep Space Nine and went, O'Brien, back to the teleporter room with you. You don't know. You don't.
You don't need a personality. Yeah, you were good there.
I just saw him recently. He was in Tolkien.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. So he still pops up.
Still around.
What about Alex? What did you think?
I was thinking, I'm not sure what I should be thinking.
Don't think, just speak.
I didn't do that though. Yeah, I think, and it's going well, basically it might turn up into just an action fest rather than anything with any heart in it, like the actual series of Star Trek actually used to do. As though, say, if this didn't have Picard's name on it, if Patrick Stewart hadn't been part of it, this could be any sci-fi series, basically. And that's kind of under concern that it's just doing Star Trek because it's got name recognition, and if it wasn't for that, nobody would watch it.
I think they're running off of the storyline where the Borg's highly interested in Data. Because of his technology side of things, Romulans are sent. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of it, Romulans and Borg are chummy with each other.
Sure. Mm.
And we learn that and then find out why they're going after.
So big speculation.
The Borg aren't around anymore, are they?
No, they are.
Janeway thing?
No. Okay. Janeway never destroyed the Borg. She destroyed an area of the hub that allowed the Borg to travel to different galaxies. So it wasn't fully destroyed.
Oh, she kind of trapped
them. I'm pretty sure they left it open. They couldn't.
You never fully destroy your enemy because that cuts ties for your next script lines. Yeah.
Mm.
So, Lisa, you're contractually obliged to watch this by virtue of marriage. Is that going to be willing? Are you going to be willing to watch it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're both big Star Trek fans, so, yeah, very exciting. And like I did say last episode, I'm a very big fan of Picard, and obviously he's done a wide gamut of work before and after. I think a lot of his work before Next Gen was with the Royal Shakespearean Company.
He did a lot of BBC as well. English productions.
Very, very Shakespearean and classically trained. And then since then, he's gone on and done
pretty much anything
you can imagine.
Probably one of my favourite movies, Excalibur.
Excalibur.
He was a knight.
And he still does theatre as well. And you can see, he's not dialing it in. He's, bringing all of the pathos and all of...
His shutdown of the reporter was absolutely beautiful. Yes. Like, it's just nice.
The emotion he does is incredible.
Picard is, I think, the closest role to him. I've seen him play absolute villains, and he's really brilliant in those roles too, but... He did Claudius in the Hamlet production with David Tennant.
Oh, wow. Yeah, fantastic. And he
was really good in that.
Yep.
I like the advancement of technology in it too.
Yes.
Mm. That was really nice, just seeing where they are now in comparison to where they were. Because we've been watching Star Trek recently, so it's actually really nice to see that massive leap into the new area.
But done in a realistic sense as well. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's some crazy sci-fi elements to it, but then, you know, the whole thing at the beginning where it's like, oh, go get me a milkshake, and he's trying to muck around with the replicator going, oh, I keep getting vanilla, I can't get a decent flavour, you know? Yeah. And it's still, it's all technology that's relevant to the day-to-day living. It's not your whole original Star Trek lava lamps in the walls equals the future. It's,
yeah.
I also like the interview because, and it reminded me of a Now for a Word episode of Babylon 5.
The interviewer
is clearly pushing a political agenda.
Well, yeah.
And they're using that to tell the viewer a lot about what the agenda of the government
is. Yeah, and it's also, I think it's a very good way of having the backstory as well, because like other series of Voyager have done it in like a different way. Like having it as a, this is happening, and seeing it as an interview of, this is, I'm saying what your mindset is.
Kind of like last time on Star Trek. Just to catch everyone up.
Expositional.
So even if you haven't watched it, it can stand by itself. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to know, like, say, the relevance of data. Like, otherwise the first thing would have made sense.
Well, yeah, but if you're watching this with fresh eyes at the same time, you could literally walk in and go, who's this guy? Must be someone from his past.
Yeah.
Going down to, what was it, Okahabra? To learn about...
Robots
in the show.
Okinawa, that's one. And then learning about androids and whatnot from that point.
Yeah.
Then you get an idea of data. So in reality, they've actually started this up, by the looks of things, to be standalone.
Yeah, and it's also... Yeah.
It would work as a standalone, because you've got the dreams which show you that Data's an old friend, someone he cares about. Sets up that relationship in that dream sequence.
And feeling bad about the loss of him as well.
And also like the way that there was some mystery of like, why does he have Romulans in his personal attaches, and then explaining it without having to be like, yes, I have been here for 10 years since this thing happened.
In a way that people don't usually do in a normal conversation. Someone that they see every day, let's talk about our backstory this afternoon, shall we?
They did a little bit of explaining, but it wasn't
It felt more organic.
So unless, like, apart from the fact that the interview was just a bit, just still enough for them to give enough information of what happened.
Yeah, with the leading question.
And then finishing it off with him lying on a couch going, I let this person down and I didn't want to do that, like how I didn't let you guys down. I thought that was nice, actually.
It was
a very good nod to a backstory that was unknown.
Up until he learns that there's a second one and goes, oh, that's all right, then I'll just save the second one instead. Forget the first one. That was a failure. The next one I'll do better.
Next.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Give me no grade.
But at the same time, right? Sorry, Justin. Give me one moment. But at the same time, she's not completely gone.
No.
She can't be completely gone by what they've said.
She's
a synthetic. There must be a neural net somewhere. Yeah. Like, they just need the smallest amount and they can regrow it. So I don't think she's gone.
No, and Picard would probably recognise that there's another version of her out there somewhere.
Yes.
Because after all, out of probably all of Next Gen, Data is the one who died the most and it mattered the least.
He didn't actually die the most.
Oh, didn't he?
No, Dr. Sim wouldn't let Data be, like, so easy to kill.
Oh, no, that makes sense. But I'd imagine he was the one who died Nemesis, and of course, I would have thought he was the one that would have been the most easy to go, and he's alive again, out of all the characters on the show.
You know, the Wall-E style of robotics, where all you need is a little spark, and then suddenly they regain all their memories, and they're back to normal again.
The only time he's actually died and crushed audiences was a two-parter from the end of Season 5 to the start of Season 6, where it's a time loop thing, and they end up just grabbing his head from that's been on Earth for thousands of years and reattaching it.
That is
the only time, because you don't realize it, and then they're like, what if we do this?
I'm pretty sure that's an episode of Futurama.
No. It's an amazing episode.
I like having your head in the desert for 1,000 years. It was fine until you came along.
It's a Roswell episode.
This is one where they go back in time from people that are stealing. It's a spaghetti western sort of thing.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting how they've gone away from... I mean, early Star Trek was very... Gene Roddenberry was setting up a utopia.
Yeah.
It was a utopian government, no money, you know, the people on Earth were all friendly and all this kind of thing. And obviously, they've moved completely away from that to a more grittier government that has nasty agendas.
There was a documentary on Netflix once about how hard it was to get Next Gen on the air at the beginning, and I wish I knew what the name was, but they said one of the faults was that Gene Roddenberry was so fixated on this utopian society.
That's right.
You know, so then even stuff like they had trouble with Picard, because I think originally when he went for his audition, he wore a wig because they weren't even going to let him in the door to audition if he was bald, because there's no bald men in the future. The society's fixed all that, you know.
Society's fixed all that in terms of nobody cares anymore.
That's it.
The issue.
That's it. And that's how they twisted it to be able to get it past him, because a lot of times there was things that they were trying to bring up, like character flaws in people, and it's like, oh, but people aren't going to be like that in the future. That's and it's like, no.
There's
late game episodes of them having issues with the government, like in Next Generation. The government's actually being controlled by this miniature thing that crawls into your ear and
That's first season too, isn't it?
Is it first season?
I thought it was
fifth or sixth. Like, they actually do have issues with the government even in Next Gen. Like,
it started back in the 60s. It's this idealistic belief that, you know, we're heading towards this perfect society.
That's right. Yes.
This series is coming out in the days of Trump.
And climate change. And all this whole stuff. And that's going to set that as well. Like, it's hard to work out an optimistic vision for the future when in the next 10 years, 20 years is going to be. Like, it's hard to imagine what the world's going to be like in that short period of time, let alone centuries, as though we might not even survive to see the 22nd century.
It's like, still a utopian-looking society, though. When you look at it, one's working.
Yes.
They're just doing it for funsies.
They kind of are, aren't they? If you look at her apartment, then she's living in a nice apartment with her boyfriend at the beginning.
But then again,
it's a bit more realistic, I guess, in the terms of future, but it's not... unutopian. I think that would be a bad way to look at it. It's
you've still got that beautiful vineyard. They must have solved global warming, or there wouldn't be a vineyard.
We just watched an episode of Star Trek that was, they go to and meet this utopian society, and if you mess up in one of the zones and get caught by the officers, you die.
Bloody Wesley, that man.
But at the same time, like, that's supposed to be a utopian society, and yet there is so much control there. So. It's a utopian society. It's just a bit more realistic.
And it's also thinking of, like, say, in DS9 and technically Voyager, of the Maquis being all not from Earth, and Earth is utopian because they can get away with it. Everywhere else, it's not as good. And it same way, like, we're in a reasonably safe part of the world, regionally economically secure and so on. So, yeah, we're in a utopian place kind of now, but the rest of the world isn't. It's that sort of deal where, like, we can be utopian if there's a non-utopian bit over there we can ignore. It's a way to solve all the problems. Shove, take it, get it, and push it somewhere else.
Take all the problem people and sweep them under.
So, yeah. So is this just going to be a pure action thing, or is it going
to be? I think it's going to be mostly action.
I love when she tried to pull Picard into an action scene, and he's just like, "Oh, I can't."
Yeah,
honey, I'm in my 70s. I'm not running anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be like all action, but with a bit of like our synthetics human, and that bit of like actual sci-fi, like real.
I think it's gonna be more political than action.
I think so.
Okay,
it comes across to me. It looks more political than action. Politics in it. Definitely,
there has to be a certain amount of boxes that get ticked, and there's the action element, there's a sci-fi element, there's the nostalgic element, which they have to kind of bring in the
which
nostalgia.
Which they're clearly doing. Yeah.
And one thing I noticed, which I know you guys, I always tune out at, and you guys always love, is they always have the long, lingering, you know,
techno babble,
and the panning shots over the sci-fi,
all the sci-fi elements.
Yeah, the sci-fi. Yeah. Well, like, I think they did the big, long pan out over the ball cube, and I'm like, going, I picked it up in the first few seconds as a ball cube. You could have just panned out really quickly.
Yes,
that's for you guys that like that type of thing, and so they had to tick that box.
Well, what's a Star Trek movie number one where they spent all the whole movie doing those panning slow shots over technology or planets or things to make you go wow, most people didn't do, and so it was a flop.
I definitely like the way that they did up the Borg cube though to make it a bit more Romulan as well. And
I think it looked like a ruin rather than a.
I don't think it looked that ruined.
Well, all the green bits were where they had presumably some sort of ray shield or something like that to keep the oxygen.
No,
in.
That goes up when you blow a hole in the side of a Borg cube. That's closing it off so that you can't jet off into space. That's all that is.
But surely
the Borgs, if they were in there, would have fixed it almost immediately.
Well, that is the way that they probably do it.
Mm. But the thing is, that Borg cube had clearly been damaged so much because there were so many of those green spaces.
Yeah. But it also looked pretty fresh.
Yeah, it meant that it was operational still.
Yes, we'll find out.
So we know that this connects all in with Star Trek Next Gen and the TV series and the movies. However, one thing I found interesting is they talk about the whole Romulan supernova thing and Romulan being destroyed and being evacuated. That's actually brought up in the reboot of Star Trek in the movie, because Eric Banner, who goes on his crusade trying to get old Spock from the future, is because his whole family and everything got blown up in
old
the Romulan
Spock
supernova.
Failed to prevent the supernova with the red matter.
Yeah. Exactly. So that must be this. You know, so.
But on the same token, the great big place that Picard went into, the records area, that got destroyed in the reboot of Star Trek. So, you know.
It got destroyed in the movie.
You're welcome.
Prime timeline.
Yeah.
Before Eric Banner's gone back in time and changed it.
Well, Eric Banner's
I'm just assuming.
They've done the alternate reality path, so changing the future and the past, instead of changing everything and just recorrecting everything, it just creates a second timeline.
So are we in the stream of the movies then? Is this kind of like what Marvel has done, some of their TV series, where they've got sort of their stream of movies and they also have in between it these TV series that actually
Star Trek movies, the new ones, they're just over there.
Right.
The newer Star Trek movies would be in that alternate timeline. Mm. So Zachary Quinto is not canon in this universe. That's
Thank goodness.
Jeez. Who's good in Heroes?
No Benedict Cumberbatch. We've got classic Khan.
I do like the reboot Khan a little bit more.
I've seen reboot one, but not reboots two or three.
The third reboot's great because it's written partially by Simon Pegg. If you want to do it, watch that one.
Yeah, I love the fact that, like I said before, that the Ethan movies are good, the odds are terrible, and it's technically the 13th movie, and Simon Pegg is on record in a series of space to say is as certain as it is that odd Star Trek movies are terrible, and he wrote an odd Star Trek movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, he wrote a Star Trek movie and it was the best one out of the three
movies.
It's the most Star Trek-y one. Like, if you're going to write Star Trek and you've seen the first two
It's like if I showed you an episode of Space from the 90s and showed a clip of him saying, odd Star Trek movies are terrible, knowing that he would make the 13th Star Trek movie is very silly in retrospect.
Well,
that's only including Galaxy Quest. If you take Galaxy Quest out of the equation, it's suddenly an even movie.
No, it's not. It's the third new one. It's like the 10 odd ones, the 3 new ones. So it's an odd one if it's the new one.
I'd be happy to trash talk Star Trek and be like, yeah, the movies are crap, and get offered later on down in my life a Star Trek movie, I would say, yes, I would love to do that. That is a dream come true. Like,
yeah, I know.
No holds back, Simon Pegg. I love him.
Yeah. I won't take this Can't one, I'll mad. Take the next
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the previous ones were worse until my one.
Yeah, it's just an amazing ironic thing.
Well, we have evidence that new audiences might actually enjoy this. Janet, you're not a Star Trek fan much, are you?
So, no, I watched.
But it does seem that the nostalgia thing isn't going to be the only thing to draw people into this one. It does seem like it's going to stand alone. And so I think, what score are we giving it, Angus?
I'm being given signs for 10 across the room. I'm going to have to say 5 because it's out of 5.
You have to say 10 out of 5. 10 out of 5.
I'm sorry.
You don't even know how to,
200%.
Like, yeah.
So it's a 5 out of 5. From
yeah, me. I'd say so, yeah. I really enjoyed it. There was that one little thing that I thought was a bit odd, but yeah, it makes sense.
What was your one little thing?
There's another one. There's two of them. I'm using that one.
Oh, my issue was the budding romance that happened on the Borg cube.
Okay, that's true. 4.5 stars.
Yeah. It's like scruffy, it wasn't even obvious flirting.
It was, I'm going to act wounded so that you care for me. I'm just like a sick puppy over here.
Whatever. I just assume that any romance and anything is forced and terrible.
As a young lady, I would throw down, to be completely honest. Like, if someone walked up looking like that, going,
the rest of the desk.
Hey, how are you? I'd be like,
let me tell you about my problems. You don't mind, do you? Not a problem at all, mate. Like, why don't we come to my room and we can talk about it some more?
MO for partners until Angus.
They're saying that, though, there was that part of me, I guess, maybe that mumsy part of me when she's kind of going, no, you can tell me about it some more. I'm like, honey. Honey, walk away. Yeah. You will be trying to fix him.
Forced his problems onto her.
She'll be trying to fix him for the rest of their lives.
As I said, I would have grabbed him and thrown him down the deck.
Hanky then throw down the deck. You've got to see what you would be missing out on.
Yeah.
So a 4.5 out of 5.
You'd just be bursting into tears halfway through.
Yeah.
And that's goodbye from the TV.
Bye.
Everybody, goodbye.
Bye.